full of broken dreams, where the truth is hard to find. For every promise that is kept, there are many left behind. Though it seems that nobody cares, it still matters what you do. There's a difference you can make, but the choice is up to you. Answer to his call. Will you stand when those around you fall? Will you be the one to take Christ's life into a darkened world? Tell me, will you be the one? Sometimes it's so hard to know who is right and what is wrong. And where are you supposed to stand when the battle lines are drawn? There's a voice that keeps calling out for someone who's not afraid to be a beacon in the night to a world that's lost its way, lost its way. Will you be the one to answer to his call? Will you stand when those around you fall? Will you be the one to take Christ alive into a darkened world? Tell me, will you be the one? There's still some battles that I must fight from day to day, yet the Lord provides the power for me to stand and say, yes, I'll be the one to answer to his call. I will stand when those around me fall. I will be the one to take Christ's life into a darkened world. Yes, I'll be the one.
Thank you, Lawrence. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 24. Remember last week we started this chapter. They had come to Jesus and showed him the beautiful temple, and Jesus told them that that was going to be knocked down. And they asked him, when is the sign of his coming and the end of the world? And so last week we began looking at the end of the world. And so we're still in chapter 24. And so we're looking at the end of the world part 2 this morning. And we finish up chapter 24 today and go into chapter 25 a little bit as we look, first of all, at the fig trees and then the flood days, faithful servants, and foolish bridesmaids. And so the Lord is giving these illustrations to help people understand the end of the world, when the Lord is coming. And we know that chapters 24 and 25 are prophetic, referred to as the Olivet Discourse. And as Jesus is explaining these things, he's talking about the tribulation period, what's going to happen after the rapture of the church. And so we'll look at that in just a minute. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, We thank you for the teachings that you have given to us. Lord, we certainly desire to know what you have for us in the future. You've been pleased to share some of that with us, some of the things we certainly do not know, but we do know that you have all things under control and that you have good things in store for us who know you and love you, and we thank you for that. We pray that you would help us with our understanding of eschatology, the things to come. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be diligent, being the one, as Lawrence has sung, that we would share with others who do not know you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As Jesus is giving an illustration here, often he does this as he's trying to explain his message. He'll give an illustration with something that they would understand. And he comes to verse 32, and he gives the lesson of the fig tree. And he says, learn a parable of the fig tree. And he says, when you see the fig tree there, you're able to know what season it is. You know that summer is nigh when you see the leaves coming forth there. And he says, just as when you see that and you know that summer's coming, there are some signs, some leaves, so to speak, that when you see happening and developing in the world, you'll know that my coming is drawing closer. Now, one thing we must understand when the Lord says that his coming is soon, we need to understand the meaning of soon, not so much time, because people say, well, it's been 2,000 years. He said he's coming soon. We sing songs. Jesus is coming soon. But the Bible, when it talks about the appearing of Jesus, a better word is imminent. It means that his coming could be at any moment, without any other warnings, without any other signs. The rapture could occur at any moment. It is imminent. But when after the rapture occurs, and while they're living on earth, there are going to be some signs that are pointing to the end of that seven-year period. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about signs that come to the rapture. So all these signs we're looking at are at least 7 years away. And as I said last Sunday, that makes the rapture even closer, doesn't it? If we say all of those things really looks like the Lord could come today, well, then the rapture being 7 years or so before that. But also Jesus says that everything's going to perish from the earth. Earth itself, in verse 35, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away. Then, of course, the fig trees will as well. But my words shall not pass away. And so the words that Jesus was speaking to them then about what's going to happen in end times, those words that Jesus spoke are going to come to pass. As we look at this Olivet Discourse, everything Jesus said is going to happen. And not only just chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew, but all of God's words, from Genesis to Revelation, whatever God has said is going to happen, it will happen. What God has said about salvation, only through Jesus, there's not going to be anybody in heaven who did not receive Jesus, because that's what God's Word says. There's not going to be anybody in hell who did receive Jesus, because they're saved from that. What the Bible says about heaven and all the glories that we enjoy, all those things will be fulfilled. What the Bible says about hell, eternal punishment and darkness and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, all those things are going to be fulfilled. God's word will be fulfilled, but heaven and earth, as we know it, will pass away. So Jesus gives an example of the fig tree that they certainly would understand. And then he gives another example. He gives an example of the flood days. And he begins to tell them, as in the days of Noah. Look at verses 37 and 8. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, as you see the reference from Genesis I have there, I would like for you to turn there and or at least listen as I read some things that happened in Genesis, because Jesus said that the same thing that was happening in Genesis is going to be happening on the earth during this seven-year tribulation there, beginning at verse 5 in Genesis 6. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented, it grieved the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. So corruption, violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then he tells Noah what to do. And as we look at the similarities between the days of Noah and the days now, when it says in that verse I read, every imagination that is living for pleasure. People are just imagining all the pleasure that they can desire. And in those days, they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. They were just living for pleasure. And the Bible says that there's going to be, in the last days, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Not just an occasional pleasure where you have a good time going to a game or doing whatever you do for pleasure there, but are just consumed with pleasing self. Everything I do is for self. That's the kind of attitude that we're starting to see in this world today. That's the way it was in Noah's day. Violence was mentioned a couple of times there. Abortion, according to the stats I saw that are about 10 years old, 3,500 per day in America alone. There have been over a billion abortions worldwide since they started keeping records of that. Violence. Abortion is violent, isn't it? If you've ever had the nerve to watch what they do in an abortion, which my stomach's not strong enough. I don't usually watch that kind of stuff. I've seen just enough of it to know that I don't want to see that anymore. It's a violent thing. Crime, violence, shootings and murder, suicide things and robberies. That's the way it was. There was a lot of that going on. And even today, if you haven't checked the news this morning, there at 2 o'clock this morning in Orlando, there was a shooting at a nightclub. Over 50 people were killed in Orlando this morning there before the police killed the shooter there. It's terrifying, isn't it? Just, I mean, when those 50 people, and there were more than that in the nightclub, when they went into that nightclub at whatever time they went, they probably didn't go in thinking that they wouldn't come out. They didn't go in thinking that they would wake up in hell. Probably most, if not all of them, were not saved, wouldn't you say? I mean, Christians, Bible-believing, those who are genuinely born again, are usually not in nightclubs at 2 o'clock on Sunday morning, are they? There. And so may God have mercy on our nation and on our world. And those things were happening in the days of Noah. And they're happening now. Pornography in 2006, 10 years ago, in America, there were $3,000 spent per second on pornography. 28,000 viewers on the internet every second there. Every 39 minutes, a new pornographic video is produced in America. The pornographic revenue is larger than all of football, baseball, and basketball franchises combined. It's just overwhelming, isn't it? In the days of Noah, homosexuality, there. It's an agenda that they have, not just equal rights, but an agenda to be a legitimate, equal lifestyle to what God says a family is in the Bible. And we see that in the book of Genesis 19. We see that today as well. Not even to mention drugs and alcohol. Just think of all of that. How many lives, millions of lives have been destroyed by drugs and alcohol and continue to be so. 2 Peter 2:5. God says, He spared not the old world, but He saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. How long did Noah spend building the ark? 120 years? Building the ark and preaching of God's judgments coming? There was plenty of time. People didn't heed the message, did they? And today, they need to hear people like Noah. It says in the verse I read, he was a preacher of righteousness. And we need to have that today as well. You think about Nineveh and how wicked they were, and God sent Jonah there, and God's mercy was there. He had sent the message, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But God had mercy. Aren't you glad that God has mercy? And regardless of how violent and sinful this world is, there is still hope because of God's mercy if people will turn to the Lord. So we see the similarities there with Noah. Let's look next at the separation that took place here when the flood came. It says in verse 39, they knew not until the flood came, just like those 50 people in that nightclub in Orlando in the middle of the night. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away there. There's coming danger. They didn't know the danger that was before them. When they went into the nightclub, just as the people in Noah's day, they didn't know that the flood was coming. There's danger. And so there is today. Extreme danger for those outside the ark, which is a picture of salvation that we have. They were unaware of the coming danger. They were unable to avoid the danger, because once Noah and his family were in the ark, and God closed the door, that was it there. And so this is not the rapture. As we look beginning at verse 39, 40, excuse me, it says, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. This is not speaking of the rapture. Now, a very similar thing happens at the rapture. There are two people there, one saved and one's lost. The saved goes on up. But here the Lord is talking about the tribulation period. He's talking about what's going to happen at the end of it. And at the end of the tribulation period, one person is going to be there who goes into kingdom, and there are going to be others that are taken away here, and they're just taken away to death and hell at the Battle of Armageddon there at the end of the 7 years. They're going to be taken away. There's nothing they can do to avoid the danger that's there. So in verse 42, we see the next thing, the surprise to them all. It says, watch. Watch therefore. You know not what hour your Lord doth come. When the Lord comes back, He's going to come back visibly. He's going to come back physically. It's going to be a literal return. And so the message is, watch. He's coming. Every eye is going to see Him whenever He comes. Those of us who are caught up in the rapture, it'll be a glorious time. At the end of the 7 year tribulation, the Lord is coming back. And whenever He comes back, not only is there the coming of the Lord, but there's coming of loss as well. Look at everything they lose, verse 43. But know this, another example Jesus gives to help them understand, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, in what 3 hour period, is what a watch is, he would have watched. He would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The Bible says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Will a man gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? And here Jesus gives his illustration. If the man knew that the robber was going to come, he'd have been sitting there with his shotgun or whatever and ready and would not have let him come in. But the coming of the Lord is going to be without notice. And we're not going to know when that happens there. And it will be a surprise, just like the surprise to those who were taken away in the flood, because it had never flooded before, never rained before. Now, when it starts raining hard around here, like it did last week, and it rains for a couple of days, we start thinking back to October, don't we? Well, we went through that flood. We know what, but they didn't, they'd never seen that before. But God said he's not going to destroy the world with a flood. Maybe some other cities and things. We see those things going on. And that's what the Lord says in the Bible. Those kinds of things are going to happen before the Lord comes back. But even during these dark times where people are living in violence and crime and disobedience to the Lord, there are some that are faithful. Just as today there are faithful servants of the Lord, during the tribulation there are going to be those that are faithful. In verse 45, Jesus says, who then is the faithful and wise servant? The one whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in that due season. The faithful one is the one who is prudent. He's wise there. When the Bible talks about Solomon, and I thought I had that up here. Don't have that up about Solomon. When it talks about Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom, Solomon said, Lord, the thing I want is wisdom so that I may know how to judge your people. And God was pleased that Solomon wanted to use wise judgment. And God was pleased with his request. And so he gave him wealth as well there. But God was pleased. In verse 46, it says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, not if he comes, when he comes, shall so find doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Blessed is that servant because he is pleasing to the Lord. He is so doing, that is a present active participle. That means that when the Lord comes, he's finding him busy. He is actively serving the Lord. And even during the time of tribulation, there are going to be those who are faithfully serving the Lord. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a hard time for those folks that are living, but they're going to be faithful. It's not always easy today, is it? But there are those who are faithful to the Lord. And so those that are faithful servants are prudent, they're pleasing, and also they will be protected at the end of the tribulation there. God has a promise. Verse 48. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, in an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him in two asunder, and appoint him a portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so God has that for those who reject him. Those who are unsaved, there's going to be that weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be hell. There's going to be literal suffering. But as believers, we're protected from that. Aren't you glad that God took that for us? Dr. Falwell said many times, and I've shared this with you before, and it's certainly applicable during the tribulation period. He used to say when I was at school there, God's man is indestructible until he's finished the work that God has called him to do here. And so God will protect his people, those that witness for him during the tribulation period, until it's time to call them home or to end their lives in death. there. Now he gives another illustration. We'll spend the last 10 minutes or so looking at these foolish bridesmaids here. He gives a parable of these 10 virgins, as they're called, that go in to meet the bridegroom. Verse 1, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom here. And Jesus is going to give this parable to show that there are some that are going out to meet him when he comes back, and they're going to be left here, just as unsaved people will be left there. And these people, they wanted to meet him. It says that they went forth to meet him. They had a desire there. They were planning to meet him, but they didn't. You know, there are some people today that say, one of these days, I'll meet the Lord. I'll get saved. They're going to do it. And in their minds, they think that they're going to have a lot longer to do, but they don't. And so being partially ready to meet the Lord is not enough, is it? Well, look at verses 2 through 4. 5 of them were wise. 5 were foolish. They that were foolish, they took their lamps. They took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And so here we see that there's some preparation that is missing here. They didn't take oil. Now we know in the Bible, and we won't take time to look at the verses through the Old Testament and New Testament, oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that everyone who is saved has the Holy Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. And so outwardly, I mean, they had their lamps here. Morally, they were pure. They were virgins here. And so the outward things, they're not enough. They were going, they intended to get saved, but they were not fully prepared. Well, look at verses 5 and 6. While they were slumbering, while they were sleeping, verse 6, at midnight, there was a cry made. And the cry is, behold, the bridegroom comes. Go out to meet him. He's here. He's here. In those days, that's the way they would have the weddings, where they would have the week of feasting, you know, and the groom would be away. And then he would come back for the bride. The 7 years of tribulation, our groom has gone away. And at the end of that, he's going to come back for the bride. And so we see in verses 5 and 6, they understood the news. They knew what was going on. They heard the cry. There are a lot of people today that believe that Jesus is the Savior and that he's the only way to get to heaven. They believe that one day he's coming back. They perceive and understand the message. But that's not enough, is it? Just like it's not enough to be partially ready. Just like it's not enough to be outwardly ready to have the lamp and be morally pure. Those things are not enough. There's more to it than that. There's a song called The Midnight Cry. When Jesus steps out on the clouds, the midnight cry, one of these days, there's going to be this midnight cry. And so he comes. They're waiting. They're sleeping. At midnight, the cry is made. And they wake up in verse 7. Those virgins arose, they trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And that's the problem. Here they are in darkness. No lamps there to give them light there. Those who do not get saved are going to be in total darkness for all eternity. The Bible says, as we saw last week in Matthew, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Those that have their oil, those who are genuinely saved, will endure through the tribulation period. Well, that was their problem. Notice what the 5 wise virgins said to them in verse 9. The wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And so here was the possibility. The oil was available. It was there for them. They could go and get it, just like the five did. And so it is today. There is a possibility that all the world can be saved because Jesus died for all the world there. And so they had a chance. The oil was available, but man's efforts come up short. These other five virgins, they had theirs, but other people can't prepare for you. We have to prepare for ourselves there. They were very close to them there. There were 10 of them together, but people that are close to us and are prepared can't prepare for us. It's a personal thing, and these bridesmaids were not ready there when the Lord returned here. Verse 10, they did go. They went to buy. They went to buy, and the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. The door was shut. Remember, Jesus had given the analogy of the ark. When the Lord shut the door, and there was permanence to it. Once the door was shut, there was no more opportunity. The possibility for them to get the oil was there before, but they didn't take advantage of it. And now, as the Bible says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Noah had preached for 120 years, but when the door was shut, it was too late there. And that's what we see next in verses 11 and 12. Afterward, they came to the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Piercing words. I don't know you. Banging on the door. I want to get into the ark. I want to get into the marriage. And he says, I don't know you. What a sad thing it is. The Bible says, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. And here were some saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he said, I don't know you. Isn't it a wonderful thing that not only we can know him, but we are known of him. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, Lord. As they said here, Lord, Lord. But it was too late at that time. But while we're here on earth, we still have opportunity to willfully call him Lord. Serve him as Lord. Be so doing when the Lord comes back, that he will find us faithful. And the last thing that we see about these, the proclamation that was made in verse 13 says, watch therefore. Therefore, pointing back to the virgins that were left outside who didn't know the Lord, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For us who are here today, we don't know the day or the hour that the rapture is going to occur. It could be today. Those that are living during the tribulation period, they don't know the day or the hour that the Lord's going to come back. But we do know one thing. The Lord's words will be fulfilled. He gave the illustration of the fig tree. He gave the illustration of Noah. He gave the illustration of the householder's house being broken into. He gave the illustration of the 10 virgins. And he even continues next week, and we'll continue our study of it next week. He continues to give illustration after illustration so that people would not have the door closed on them for all eternity and would not hear those terrible words, I know you not. Do you know the Lord? Do you know him personally? Does he know you? When you knock, well, he says, yes, I know you. You're mine. I remember the day you got saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're known of you and that we know you. Lord, we thank you for salvation that's of the Lord. We thank you that even as we learn from the story of Noah, that Noah didn't close the door, but you closed the door. Father, we thank you that you have gone to prepare a place for us, and you will come again to receive us unto yourself. And Father, we live in a world that is like the days of Noah, where people are eating and drinking and giving in marriage and going about with so much self-centered pleasure, worldliness. We see so much violence and wickedness in our land. And Lord, we just can't help but believe that your coming is very near, even at the door. Help us to be diligent as we serve you whenever you come. May we be as those faithful servants. When you do come, you will find us so doing. In Christ's name, amen.